L Properties.
Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Asamai and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Friday the 16th of January. Time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, we're just days away from signage being installed in Douglas and Onchan, marking out new 20 mile per hour zones. Plus, good news for users of mobility scooters, Bus Vanin just got a bit more accessible, and a chip shop in Onchan speaks out about the price of cod. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Christian Jones. Fast am I, Christian.
Fast am I. Police have confirmed that a person has died following a road traffic collision in the Hillbury area this morning. The incident occurred at around 9:30 involving a red Mini. Road closures remain in place around Little Mill Road, Crocnamona and the Cregna Bar. New 20-mile-per-hour speed limit signs will start being installed in Douglas and Onchan next week.
We're slightly behind the implementation schedule that we shared with Tim Wald and that Tim Wald approved us to get on with, just because of the sheer volume of consultation and for the roads that there were significant comments and challenges about. We've considered each of those individually and in detail to come to a decision at the end of the process.
It's part of the government's plans to reduce speed limits in urban areas. The government has launched a national AI office backed by £1 million in public funding. The office will coordinate how artificial intelligence is developed and used across the island. And a fish and chip shop in Onchan says the price of cod has risen so steeply in recent years it's now on par with sirloin steak. New Cod on the Block says they've taken to trialling hake as a cheaper alternative. In the latest international news, West Midlands Police Chief Constable Craig Guildford is retiring with immediate effect, days after the UK Home Secretary revealed she'd lost confidence in him. He'd recently blamed AI for giving MPs incorrect evidence over the decision to ban Maccabi Tel Aviv fans from an Aston Villa match in November. Shabana Mahmood couldn't sack him, but promised to reinstate her powers to. The man who could have is Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Foster.
This outcome has been reached having regard to due process and the law. That has prevented what might otherwise have been a complex procedure that would have caused significant distraction, impact and cost to West Midlands Police and the wider West Midlands.
Iran's exiled crown prince has promised to return to the country and given the world six things to do to help anti-regime protesters. Speaking in Washington, Reza Pahlavi's called for unrestricted internet access. And a nurse says she felt like a terrible person for having the audacity to complain about sharing an NHS changing room with a transgender colleague. A tribunal has ruled Darlington Hospital staff in County Durham suffered harassment. Those are the update news headlines, next at 6.
Christian Jones, Gura Myed, a quick look to the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Variable amounts of cloud this evening and overnight. The risk of a few showers, but these tending to remain offshore to the west of the island. Fresh to strong south or southeast winds easing moderate by the end of the night, and minimum temperatures around 5 or 6 degrees. Sunny spells and mainly dry tomorrow. Only a small risk of showers, but again, most of these should remain offshore to the west of the island. Moderate to fresh southeast wind and a top temperature of 9 degrees. Bright or sunny spells on Sunday, still with the risk of the odd isolated shower. Moderate to fresh south or southeast wind and a highest temperature of 8 degrees. Sunrise tomorrow morning at 8:27, sunset tomorrow afternoon at 4:30.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The time now, 4 minutes past five, and it's been a busy day for the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward. Appearing on Man in Line today, she made a number of announcements. The first in response to Eric Corkish, who's been campaigning for mobility scooters to be allowed on buses.
I promised you I was working on it, and you're right, I'm the seventh minister with this one on my bag. As of Monday, anyone who wants to book an assessment to get a permit to take a mobility scooter on the buses can contact the Welcome Centre and they'll book them in for a session. On Tuesday the 27th of January, down at the Bottleneck car park, Bus Fanning will have a bus so that people who use either wheelchairs or mobility scooters who are not feeling perhaps confident at getting on and off the bus and not quite sure where to go can come down and have a little bit of a practice session there with the staff and build their confidence. And as of February the 2nd, all of the bus routes, apart from the Village Connect options, will be open to mobility scooters to use those services. Now, this is subject to there are still limited stops where the bus can actually stop and safely load or offload a mobility scooter. And so the website for the bus company is currently being updated so that it will show all of those stops. And it's important to stress that just because you get onto a bus on one side of the road and head off in your destination, that when you return, the bus stop on the other side of the road might not be accessible. So what I'm urging people to do is to check which stops on the route they want to go are accessible stops. So the big news is, Eric, your wait is finally over after seven ministers and 6 years. As of February the 2nd, the bus routes will be open to mobility scooter users, subject to them having a permit and making sure that they check that the stops that they want to go to are safe stops for them to use.
Well, I was beginning to think I'd be dead before it ever come through, but at least one minister has done what she said she would do, unlike the other six ministers where we got nowhere.
Minister Hayward there speaking to campaigner Eric Corkish, and we'll keep an eye out for that list of accessible bus stops being published on Monday. Well, Dr. Hayward also confirmed that contractors will begin installing 20 mile per hour signs around Douglas and Onchan next week.
Back last year, we took an implementation plan to Tim Ward and we said what we'll do is here's the timings for everywhere. We're going to consult, we're going to analyse those results, then we'll publish the orders. We published revised traffic orders in light of the first consultation for Douglas and Onchan several weeks ago now, and went back out for consultation on those. We had another round of feedback from those. We've analysed that feedback as well. And between the first consultation and publishing the sort of revised maps, we'd amended some of the proposals that we had in our first set of proposals. Those new maps went out. We've had that second round of feedback. We've considered that as well. And now we're proceeding to make the traffic orders. So we're slightly behind the implementations schedule that we shared with Tim Wald and that Tim Wald approved us to get on with, just because of the sheer volume of consultation. And for the roads that there were significant comments and challenges about, we've considered each of those individually and in detail to come to a decision at the end of the process.
Are you relying on the good nature of people then to adhere to the limits, or will there be sanctions? Will there be speed cameras?
To a certain extent, we make all laws because there are some people who won't behave in a reasonable way. The law over speeding is quite clear, and when we've changed the limits in places, the same laws apply as to if you break the speed limits now. The police have been quite clear that they don't have any more resource to put into speed enforcement, and they will target any of their efforts at areas where there are increased risks. Most of our citizens are law-abiding citizens and will try and slow down. I think there is a psychological barrier that comes in, that if that road then becomes 20 and you're still used to driving it at 40, you're then doing twice the speed limit. That's a 6 points on your licence, and that's excessive speed. And I think that becomes a point at which people will check their own behaviour as well. There are no plans anywhere on my desk or coming through officers that I'm aware of about speed cameras. That's been almost a mistaken thread all the way from the beginning, because we were putting in some signs that had an electricity feed to them. That's because they're the flashing wigwag signs that go up around schools, and guess what, to make the lights work we need some electricity in there. So it's not to do with speed cameras, and it's not to do with trying to fine people.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward speaking to Andy Wint there on the Man in Line this lunchtime. It's now 9 minutes past five, and a £1 million National AI Office has been launched to oversee artificial intelligence policy on the Isle of Man. Government says it will act as a central hub for guidance, coordination and support, and is expected to produce an already delayed National AI Strategy. That document would still require Tim Wald approval, though, meaning it may be unlikely for this administration to approve it. One of the core objectives is to boost economic growth. Christian Jones asked Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston and Digital Isle of Man's chief exec Lyle Raxall how they'll measure that, given the island doesn't track quarterly growth figures.
We've had a lot of discussions around how we measure success. So we do have an attribution model that we've been working with for the Activate IO programme based, in fact, we've probably been a little too conservative with that model to date. Since we created that model, it's because there's more of a standardised version of how much productivity value you'd expect from a certain amount of training. So we do use that, appreciating it's far from perfect, but it gives us a benchmark and something that we can work from. I think when we also work with industry to create proof of concepts, we are asking for the use cases, the benefits case as part of that, and we're tracking that as well. We'll also be that will also be added now to the work that's happening internally with government on the efficiencies program. So we have a clear view, but admittedly not 100% accurate view of what's going on. But it will be a really good indicator of our progress.
One of the aims is to support responsible and trusted AI adoption. But we have countries across the world who are unsure of how to balance oversight and regulation without discouraging innovation. Obviously, those countries have resources which go far beyond what the Isle of Man has at its disposal. Well, why do you think the island stands a chance of this?
So at this stage, we're not haven't committed to regulate AI. So the first step is to make sure that we've got really clear guidance, which does already exist, and we bring that into one place, make sure that guidance is consistent, clearly signposted. And then we would need to embark on a national discussion around whether we go further than that.
Just a quick question. You said that this isn't about regulation. When the Chief Minister announced this, it was called the National Office for AI Development and Regulation. So is that not what it's called anymore?
Well, certainly, I think we recognise that's a part of it, because we recognise that, you know, whereas AI is here whether we like it or not, it's all around us and it's there, and there's parts of it we don't have control over, and let's be honest, that's just the reality of the way this as an entity works. When it comes to how we adopt it in government and use it in government, and the way we understand how business want to adopt it and use it, and how the way we want to work together, then clearly we want to make sure where we can put those safeguards and guardrails in, we do that, and that will require potentially some form of future regulation. But I think it's too early to say that yet, I think.
Tim Johnston and Lyle Raxall there, speaking to Manx Radio's Christian Jones, who joins us now in the studio. Fastamai, Christian. So what's the main takeaway from all of this?
Yeah, Fastamai, Lewis. So in essence, a new entity is being created, but it'll sit within the Department for Enterprise under the digital umbrella. So effectively, we've got another layer of digital. And now the efficiencies program, which was previously overseen by the Minister Without Portfolio before that role has effectively disappeared following Tim Crookle's resignation, that will now sit under the National AI Office too.
And one of the key priorities for the National AI Office is to conclude the development of a national AI strategy.
Yeah, and like you said, that's not actually new. In fact, it's already been delayed. A national AI strategy first appeared in the Department for Enterprise's 2024 annual plan, again in the 2025 plan. On both occasions, it was pushed back. Now we know that it'll become the responsibility of the National AI Office to develop, and it has up to a year to do that. Big strategies like this, they have the potential to bring major changes to the way that public sector operates, so it would have to be approved by Timwald. But with Parliament due to be dissolved in the not-too-distant future, major policy decisions can no longer be made once that's happened. So that makes it very unlikely that this document will be completed before dissolution. So in all likelihood, it will be a completely different administration and House of Keys that decides whether to continue with it or not.
All right, Gromayed, thank you, Christian Jones. The time now, 14 minutes past five. Have you tried using Vinted? This is the app which has become quite popular in recent years, which allows people to buy and sell items to people here and across the UK. However, in recent weeks, people on the Isle of Man using an Isle of Man postcode have not been able to sell anything on the site. Natasha is a mum on the island and had been an avid Vinted user until recently. She explains why.
Up until sort of mid to end of December, we were able to use Yodel to buy and sell through Vinted. And Manx Independent Carriers were the shipper and the sort of logistics company that dealt with that. And that ceased for some reason. Something changed on the Vinted platform. And now Isle of Man sellers are no longer able to use any integrated shipping options from the island. Vinted themselves actually generate the postage label. The buyer pays for the label and it's all very automatic and it goes through the Vinted network tracked. So you are not parting with any money yourself to send the parcel and it's all insured and tracked by Vinted. So if anything does happen with the parcel, it's then covered by their insurance. So now that that service has gone from the island, we have no way of actually selling or sending anything off through Vinted. Vinted has become part of my nightly rotation when I'm on the sofa. You know, you check Instagram, you check Vinted. So I was pretty much on it every day, not in terms of necessarily buying every day or selling every day, but it's just one of those things that you can have a browse. And yeah, I was definitely using it and still do, to be honest, every day. I'd buy and sell my own clothes, my daughter's clothes, even some of my partner's clothes. People were just using Vinted to make a bit of pocket money, help us stretch to payday and things like that. And it's definitely had an impact because I think people want to get rid of what they're no longer using. You know, we are all being encouraged to sort of recirculate clothing, recirculate what we don't want anymore, rather than buying new. And I suppose that element of the selling has now been taken away from us. So it has had a major impact on a lot of people. I've chatted or attempted to chat to several customer service agents and you get different answers each time. My general feeling is that there's not been anything communicated to their customer service team. We can't understand whether it is the shipping provider that's changed something or whether it is Vinted. So it is quite frustrating because when you don't know who's caused the issue or what is causing the issue, there's no way to sort of try and push for a fix for it.
Well, we've had a full raft of statements from a myriad of shipping providers, as well as Vinted itself and the Department for Enterprise. You can find all of those at manxradio.com. The underlying message seems to be that they can't pin down what has led to this issue, but it is being looked into.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, we'll start on the roads, and the main thing to note, of course, is that the stretch from Hilbury to the Craigna Bar remains closed following that incident this morning. Police have closed Little Mill Road, Crocknamona and the Craigna Bar. We've asked for an update on those road closures, which we understand could be in place for a while longer. If you are heading over the mountain, it'll be the Craigna Bar back road for you this evening. If we get any updates on that, we'll let you know. Elsewhere in Onchan, temporary lights on Whitebridge Hill for streetlight replacement. In Braddon, temporary lights on Cool Road near the business park for work on the pavements there. And there are temporary lights as well on Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge. Well, if you're travelling off-island tonight, good news. All flights in and out on time at the airport and smooth sailing down at the steam packet too. Manxman is travelling back from Heysham as we speak. Should be arriving into Douglas very shortly before the evening sailing back to Lancashire gets underway at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Treasury's been reacting to the latest inflation figures, which the rate at which the prices are rising jumped half a percentage point between November and December. Minister Alex Allenson was asked by Christian Jones for his take.
We always knew that when you get down to a lower level of around about 2, it can get a bit bumpy. And we've seen some of the uncertainty in terms of the markets as well. And so I'm not entirely surprised that over the next couple of months, we will see it going up and down quite a bit. And we've seen the same with the UK. Isle of Man inflation tends to track the UK. We were a little bit below beforehand. We're now a fraction above. But I expect that to carry carry on, certainly during the next 6 months, probably, as we try to get down to that forecasted figure of around about 2%.
And restaurants and hotels were the single biggest contributor to inflation. Prices up 8.1% over the year. Is that being driven by wage costs, energy, or supply pressures? Do you know?
Again, there is a lot of talk at the moment on the element about minimum wage and wage pressures. I think what this shows is that a lot of the restaurants and pubs on the island have been trying to absorb prices as they have fluctuated during the course of the year, but have had to put their prices up eventually. And again, particularly in terms of alcohol and drinks that you buy in a restaurant. And that's them adjusting their business model to deal with the reality of increased input costs.
And inflation is well below the double-digit levels that we saw in 2022. It remains above the long-term target. When would you expect inflation to return to what you might consider normal levels?
And when you look at some of the forecasts going forward, I think the Bank of England are saying that as we get towards the end of this year, it should get far closer to their target rate of around about 2%. But we've seen incidents around the world cause that to start wobbling. What we do know is obviously things are more expensive than they were this time last year. People can see that. But we've also seen a stabilisation in those price increases and some prices beginning to fall as well. So I'm hoping that really as we get into the second and third quarter of this year, hopefully with some further reductions in interest rates from the Bank of England, we might see this levelling out an awful lot more and getting down to that target of 2%.
Treasury Minister Alex Allenson there. Well, Peel Commissioners has agreed to increase its general rate for the next financial year by 3 pence in the pound. The Commissioners are also raising the refuse charge, which is the fee to have your bins collected, by £11, which means residents will pay a flat payment of £274. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to the chair of Peel Commissioners, Ray Harmer.
Yes, so there's two parts. The main rate is from 272 to 275. And the refuse rate, which is increasing by £11, which is about 3%.
And why did you decide to come to the decision? It was obviously quite a long debate you had in the meeting this evening. So why did you make that choice?
Well, the refuge one is more straightforward because all the costs have gone up by 3%. So, for example, the civic amenity site's gone up by 3%. The wages are by 3%, government wages come by 3%, and also the gate fee is also 3%. So we're sort of following, because the costs have increased, we've had to increase. The rates is a little bit different. It's about a mixture of balance between how much we have in reserves and how much we need to spend year on year. And so we've had to take a sort of a prudent approach, but we're also very conscious of not putting too much burden on our ratepayers.
I know that was mentioned in the meeting there about you were trying to balance the needs of the social housing tenants as well as the businesses, because they obviously play an important part in the town too.
Yes, exactly. So there's a double hit for people who rent and who are in commissioners' housing, and also for businesses. And they're obviously going to be struggling with many other factors, with the minimum wage and all of these other factors. So it's important that we maintain a prudent approach to what we do, but also make sure that we want to do some of the things that we need to do. For example, make sure that lighting's improved, make sure the street furniture, and so we've got some good schemes, improve the parking and improve some lining and the number of jobs that we need to do. So we need to do those as well as maintain a prudent approach.
Ray Harmer there, Chair of Peel Commissioners, speaking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper. Now, remember the days when a chippy tea was, well, cheap as chips? Well, at least one of the main components, fish, is far from cheap these days. The price of cod, in particular, is said to have risen significantly. Simon Richardson has been speaking with Johnny McDowell of New Cod on the Block in Onchan.
Since, obviously, Russia went into Ukraine, the prices of it have gone through the roof, certainly over the last couple of years as well. I mean, the European Union are now cutting the quotas that fishing boats allowed to land. And obviously, you have people saying, we're surrounded by water, why can't you get it from local? Well, the simple answer to that is, cod doesn't certainly live in these waters anymore. You know, temperatures are warming up. Cod's are native to, like, Atlantic, the Bering Sea, around Russia. So, you know, these have to all be brought in from far afield and stuff. So all these places are now there. Costs are all going up as well. They're obviously reducing what they're allowed to land. So it's a simple thing. It's a supply and demand nowadays.
But all is not lost, is it? Because there are alternatives, and I think possibly there's a reluctance of people to actually try some of them, but there are some very close alternatives.
There is. We've tried Pollock before, and we didn't really find there was that much uptake on that. I mean, people still always want to have cod. We have haddock on the menu all the time, although the prices on that are increasing. We're now trying hake as well to see how that goes. That is a little bit cheaper than cod. You're looking probably over £1 a fillet cheaper, but you know, whether the demand is there for that, we'll find out in time.
Now, you've been in the industry a while. Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, think that the price of cod would end up mirroring the price of steak?
No, nowhere near it. I mean, we're obviously being told by suppliers that it's going to be going up again in the next few weeks, and they reckon it's going to go up further once we get into March and April. So it'll be outstripping the price of sirloin steak and beef, certainly.
Ultimately, though, with the shortages of it and the fact it's been overfished to the level it has, people are just going to have to get used to changing, aren't they?
Unfortunately, they are. It's just the way it is. It's not us trying to make loads more money. It's just simply us covering costs at the end of the day. And that's just the way it's going to have to be nowadays.
Fish and chips, we always used to think of it as you mentioned earlier, a family staple, something, you know, a good cheap meal. But it's actually not a cheap meal now. It's something that people, almost a luxury.
It certainly is. It's obviously over the time gone by, it's costing a lot more now. It's just simply all your overheads that you're now covering with the cost of everything. That's all you're merely doing nowadays. It's just very hard for anyone in hospitality.
And cod or steak, what's your favourite?
I prefer cod nowadays, to be honest.
And now I'm hungry. It's time for sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. And Darren Timpson is here. Fast am I, Darren.
Fast am I. And the shortlist for the 2025 Allemand Sports Awards has been announced today. It features the coveted Sportsman and Sportswoman Awards, alongside 10 other prizes up for grabs. Up for the Sportsman of the Year are Bevan Rodd and Billy Harris, Corin Leeming, David Malarkey, Matthew Bostock, Sam Rennie and William Draper. Meanwhile, Anna Dawson, Krista Kane, Caitlin Adshead, Laura Kinley, Nikki Arthur and Sarah Aston will compete for the Sportswoman of the Year. The winners will be crowned at a ceremony in the Villa Marina on Thursday, the 26th of February. Into football, and the semi-finals of the GH Corlett Woods Cup takes place this weekend. Moran hosts Arden and Drogon Division 2 leaders Colby, while St George's hosts Castletown. In the Canada Life Premier League, Corinthians will be hoping they can extend their lead at the top of the table, with Peel 4 points behind them and having 2 games in hand. The Whites face Laxey, while the Westerners travel to Braddon. Onto the second division, where only 3 games take place. Maloo will be hoping they can leapfrog Douglas Roy on the table when the two sides meet tomorrow. Moving on to Sunday, where there's Women's Floodlit Cup action. Bala Fletcher sides Douglas Royal and Corinthians meet at the Bowl, while Onken play Maloo. On to rugby, and promotion hopefuls Douglas travel to Winnington Park in the Regional 2 Northwest. They'll be wanting to build on their victory over Burnage last weekend. Ramsey will also looking to build on some momentum in the County's 3 ADM Lancs Cheshire. They won their first game of the season last weekend over Hoylake and will take on Oldham tomorrow. Meanwhile, Vagabonds host Fleetwood. In the women's NC2 North-South, Vagas ladies will be looking to get back to winning ways when they take on Didsbury Tok H.
Darren Simpson, Guru Mayed, thank you. And that's it for Update Tonight. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. Coming up, Ben Cunningham is here with Friday Sport Preview, and Chris Kinley will be along at 6:30 with Greatest Hits. Have a great weekend. Update, we'll be back at the same time on Monday.
Separation should not mean losing time with your children. Most children benefit from a strong relationship with both parents. At Man Benham, we specialise in helping you reach sensible contact and residence arrangements, focusing on your child's best interests. We support communication and cooperation.
Whether through negotiation or court application, our aim is to achieve a stable and workable routine. Professional advice is key to securing your family time. For expert advice on child arrangements, contact Man Benham Advocates. Call us now on 639 350.
Geoffrey, how do you like this composite door from Spectrum Windows?
Oh, good choice, missus. Stylish and hard-wearing. It'll transform the house.
Trouble is choosing the colour. There's so much choice.
How about red? It goes with your eyes.
Anyone would see red living with you, Geoffrey.
For a huge range of solid composite doors in a great range of colours, including red, visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
They may try to offer you a tasty carrot. Perhaps they'll try to give you some stick. But whatever you do, don't become a money mule. It's just not worth the risk. Don't let anyone move money through your bank account, however tempted you may be. You could end up facing serious consequences, including a criminal record, bank account closure, as well as difficulty securing loans or credit in the future. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the IOM Constabulary, and Cyber Security Centre for the Isle of Man. For further information, visit csc.gov.im.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.